I want to say this, and I want you to hear this. Maybe you need to check your pulse. Maybe you weren't really listening, or you need to check your faith.
So now your joy is fixed on a fixed and stable source. When your joy is based on your performance, it's going to be up and down like the wind.
This has got to stop. I mean, what kind of message are we sending to the world? Why would they want what we claim to have? The answer is, they don't. Well, welcome to Real Talk with Jordan Riley, where the real talk does not come from me. It comes directly from God's Word. And before we get started today, please consider subscribing to our channel, giving this a thumbs up, and supporting what we do by going to realtalkwithjordan.com. On today's episode, we're going to talk about why people have no joy and how it doesn't come from a pill or from your spouse or from goofy televangelists. See, too many people are joyless these days, and it's time to turn that around. So are you ready? Let's go.
All of this comes after some eyebrow-raising results of a new survey of households in America. Nearly one out of every three American adults reported having symptoms of anxiety or depression this summer. Now efforts are underway to make sure people get the help they need. For the first time ever, the U.S. Preventative Services Task Force is recommending screening for adults. And the idea is to check for signs of anxiety disorders.
So when you look at people these days and you look at your own life, have you noticed that there are so many people that are actually struggling? A recent survey says that over 33% of Americans today are dealing with depression and anxiety. That's a lot of people, and it's a huge problem. Now, I'll be honest with you right at the front end. There are truckloads of self-help books and life coaches that will say, hey, try this or do that, but they don't work. Or we see people turn to medication or substances to try to deal with the pain because they have no joy and they want to, you know, feel something or maybe get rid of the hurt that they have inside. And how is that working out for them? It's not. But what's more tragic than this is that this has invaded the church. And I see this on a regular basis. I go to church and I see people who claim to love Jesus and claim to follow him, but they look like they're at a funeral. They have no joy. I mean, did somebody die? You know, we stand up and we sing some songs and have no passion. We browse our phones while the pastor's preaching. And then the pastors have to ask us for an amen when they're sharing biblical truth on what Jesus has done and about our salvation. Come on, you guys.
What's wrong with you people?
This has got to stop. I mean, what kind of message are we sending to the world? Why would they want what we claim to have? The answer is they don't. Because they think we're no better off than they are. See, you realize that what most of us are suffering from today is truth amnesia. We hear the truth, and most of the time we know the truth, but we get our eyes on our situation instead of our Savior. And that causes our joy to plummet.
Joy comes before obedience rather than after. And if you don't understand that, you will really be messed up all your days. Joy is not the result of obedience. Joy is the result of what God has done. So now your joy is fixed on a fixed and stable source. When your joy is based on your performance, it's going to be up and down like the wind.
See, so many of us have forgotten what God has done in our lives. We've forgotten who we were and where we were headed before Jesus saved us. We've taken our eyes off of Christ and the promises in his word. So that's the real problem that we're suffering from. And I'm here to share with you the solution. So I'm going to remind you and myself of seven truths that if you will embrace them and remind yourself of them each day, I believe your joy is going to be rekindled. So let's get started. Number one, God chose to save you. Wow, isn't that awesome? Let me be very clear. You and I did not make a decision for the Lord. Our salvation didn't rest on our efforts or anything that we did. It's not up to us. Ephesians 1:4 says that God chose us before the foundation of the world. That's also seen in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, John chapter 3, verses 3 through 8, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, and John 15, verse 16, just to name a few. Now, please understand, it's not because we deserved it or we earned it. Not because we did some amazing thing, not at all. It's because God is rich in mercy, and that should rock your world today. Number two, Jesus took all your sin and traded it for his righteousness. That is amazing. You see that in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, which says, "He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him."
Let me unpack those 15 Greek words. He, God, made Jesus sin. What do you mean he made Jesus sin? Only in one sense. He treated him as if he had committed every sin ever committed by every person who would ever believe, though in fact he committed none of them. Hanging on the cross, he was wholly harmless, undefiled. Hanging on the cross, he was a spotless lamb. He was never for a split second a sinner. He is holy God on the cross. But God is treating him, I'll put it more practically, as if he lived my life. God punished Jesus for my sin, turns right around and treats me as if I lived his life.
So Jesus took your sin, my sin, past, present, and future, and nailed it to the cross. Isn't that amazing? We didn't deserve that at all. Yet he poured out his grace and mercy on wretched, rebellious sinners like you and me. And the Bible says that he removes our sin as far as the east is from the west. Let that just sink in today. Think about that. That is reason enough to have joy. Number three, God rescued you from the wrath and punishment in hell. Colossians 1:3 says that he rescued us from the domain of darkness. That's God who did that and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved son. Woo! That is amazing. If you have been saved by Jesus, then hell is no longer your destiny. Heaven is your home.
Loud.
Ephesians 2 verses 4 through 9, it talks about the amazing grace of God that was lavished on us. May we never, ever take that for granted and remember it every single day. Number four, the Holy Spirit has transformed you. This is something we should be reminding ourselves every day. When we are in Christ, according to 2 Corinthians 5:17, we are no longer the same person we were before. The old has passed away and the new has come. Thank you, Jesus. See, I used to be a very angry, lustful, prideful sinner before Jesus saved me. And now I've been given a new heart with new passions and new affections. But it's all because of what God did. It's not according to what I did. Look at Ezekiel chapter 36, verses 25 and 26. I take zero credit for what God did and what only God could do. Number five, God has adopted you into his family. Isn't that amazing? We are no longer orphans or abandoned. John chapter 1, verses 12 and 13 is clear that God has done this. Not because, again, of any works we've done or any merit that we've earned, not at all. It's because of his will and his choosing. Romans 8:15 says, "For you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons and daughters, by which we cry out, Abba, Father." Isn't that awesome? Number six, Jesus secured your salvation. I mean, let me put it this way, and you need to hear me. When you have been saved by Jesus, you are saved forever.
Forever.
Yes, this is amazing. Hebrews 7, 25, Romans 8, verses 38 and 39, John 10, verses 27 through 30, and Jude 1, verses 24 and 25, just to name a few, says that salvation is not something we can lose at all. It's a gift from God. And according to Romans 11, 29, God's gifts are irrevocable. You need to hear me say that. That means he never takes them back once he has given them. So now hear me say this very clearly, you guys. If Jesus has saved you, that means he has made up his mind about it and the matter is settled, and God does not change his mind. Ephesians 1 verses 13 and 14 says that we are sealed by the Holy Spirit when we are saved. And I'm going to ask you this question. Are you strong enough to break the seal that the Holy Spirit has placed on your life?
How about no?
Absolutely not. Said no verse ever. Number 7. Jesus intercedes for you daily. That is amazing. We see that in Hebrews 4:14 and Hebrews 7:25. Jesus is our great high priest who stands before the throne of God and advocates for us and declares his blood has covered those that he has saved. I mean, think about that. That's called justification, which means that when God looks at us, he sees the blood of his son covering us. And so by doing that, we are declared by God not guilty. Oh, just let that sink in, you guys. We were dead and lost in our sin. Romans 6:23 says the wages of sin is death. That's where we were all headed. But the Lord chose to save us and redeem us. Wow, that is amazing. Romans 8 verse 1, one of my favorite verses in all of the Bible, says this: therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That is good news. So if you've heard these 7 things, you know, and your joy has not increased or been strengthened in this episode, I want to say this and I want you to hear this. Maybe you need to check your pulse. Maybe you weren't really listening, or you need to check your faith. See, these 7 truths are only for those who have been saved by Jesus. Notice I didn't say these truths were for people who repeated a goofy prayer or who attend church each week or who think they've earned it or have done good works. Not at all. This is only for born again believers of Christ. Now, if you have no joy or you're struggling with it, it's either because 2 things. It's either because you're not saved or because your focus is on yourself and on your efforts. So let me be very clear. Joy does not come from a pill, a can, a doctor, a boyfriend or a girlfriend, a spouse, your job, your kids, or your bank account. Not at all. Joy is not the same thing as happiness. Happiness is situational. You can be happy 1 minute and depressed the next, but that's not the same thing as joy. See, joy only comes from Jesus. And the only way to come to him is through repenting of your sin and trusting and believing the gospel. If you want true joy, stop looking back at your past. Stop looking at yourself and start looking forward and looking to Jesus and reminding yourself of who he is and what he's done.